Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Bound down, 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 down. It is Monday, my dudes, my dudettes.
Thank you, God Pigeon.
I got an offer he can't refuse. Welcome in, people. The Rob Brown Show is on the radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Happy to have you here with us. 4 hours of fun and shenanigans coming your way right now. And we have got plenty that we have got to get to, got to talk about. An incredible NFL Sunday. Not that it was incredible, just some phenomenal standout performances. I'm actually really excited about tomorrow's show, because the TMF INR Awards are going to be lit tomorrow. Absolutely lit tomorrow. And I look forward to getting to that point. But we got to get today's show going, man. We have got a lot that we need to get to on the radio program today. I am Rob Brown, joining us in just mere minutes from now on the stream, but ever present on the radio program, as he is in charge of not just this one, but everyone, all of them together. Of course, is Lonzo, who will join us here in just a minute from now. For those of you that are on the stream, well, you can't hear me right now, but we'll have that up and running as soon as Zoe joins.
I was going to say, I hope you didn't go live.
I did.
Okay.
I did. I'd already pushed live when we found out that somebody done screwed up Zoe's computer over there.
Oh, I know who it was.
I mean, I did too. I just wasn't going to say it. You know, I think we all know what
I don't
happened.
Think we all know, but if all of us is me and you, yeah.
Us two know. We'll have Zoe with us on the live stream, and we'll get our live stream going here in just a minute. You can watch the live stream at facebook.com/thefanupstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitter. So we should be good, pardon me, on the live stream now. Listen, I know that I sound like the absolute drop-dead sexiest possible version of me right now, okay? I know that the dulcet tones of Rob Brown are even dulceter right now than they usually are. Let me tell you what went down this weekend. On Saturday, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits had their teddy bear toss night, which is one of the best traditions in sports. It is, in my opinion, the best tradition in hockey. And for those of you who don't know how it works, effectively, local hockey teams, well, even the NHL teams, but hockey teams around the country will have a game a couple of weeks out from Christmas, and they will ask their fans to bring stuffed animals, teddy bears, out to the arena. And when the team scores their first goal, they ask the fans to throw those teddy bears out onto the ice. They collect them all, and then they donate them to underprivileged kids around the community. And on Saturday night, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits did that. And not only is it an incredible tradition, but it is also something that brings the people out. There were north of 6,000 people in the Bonscore Wellness Arena on Saturday night. Well, for those of you that have not yet come to a Greenville Swamp Rabbits game, and I encourage you to do it, hockey's awesome in person. Hockey is, in my opinion, and I mean this, hockey's the best sport to watch live. Like, I love baseball. I love going to baseball games. Go as many as I can. I love football, obviously. Go to as many football games as I can. But there's something special about watching hockey in person. Like, it's just, to me, the best sport to watch live. And so, I, on Swamp Rabbit game nights at the crib, I am their in-arena host. So I'm the dude that they put up on the Jumbotron, and my job is to, you know, host the games and whatever. But what they want me there for is I build the hype, man. Like, I pop off on the mic, I cut promos, I go bananas, and I get people excited about the game. Well, there were 6,000 people in there on Saturday night. It was a spectacular hockey game. Swamp Rabbits unfortunately come up on the losing end on Saturday. They did get it right and finally knock off Orlando in overtime yesterday. We'll talk some hockey later on in the show later on in the week. But 6,000 people in there, it was a hell of a hockey game. And as somebody's job, as my job is to get the people excited, man, I was popping off. I was losing my mind. It was absolutely electricity in the Bonsecours Wellness Arena on Saturday night. So I was going off, and had another game yesterday. Didn't go quite as hard in the paint yesterday. Got there, told Alexis, who runs the game, I'm like, hey yo, just as an FYI, I'm not the best version of myself today. She's like, that's all right, we'll figure out. We got through the game, and woke up this morning, and as I get my day going, the last thing that I do before I take off in the morning, I get up, I take a shower, usually in the AM, I get dressed, and that, you know, take a shower, get dressed, brush my teeth, get the hair perfectly coiffed as it is today, just mwah, chef's kiss on the coif today. And then right as I'm about to walk out the door, I go back in the bedroom, I give the little wifey a kiss on the head, mwah. And I leave. And sometimes it wakes her up and sometimes it doesn't. When it doesn't, I just leave. When it does, she says, I love you. And I say, I love you. So I gave her a little kiss on the forehead and it woke her up. And she said, love you. Have a good day. And I said, love you. Love you. Love you. So I added a new thing to my routine this morning. Great one. This morning, I made myself a nice little cup of tea. And I have come to the conclusion, and this is true, every tea that ain't sweet tea is gross. It's just, it's all gross. It all tastes like a wet paper bag. All tea that ain't sweet tea is gross.
I am curious about this because tea in Ohio, unless they've changed it, is unsweetened. So is it unsweetened tea in Florida or is it sweetened tea?
No, see, here's the problem. There's tea that is sweet tea. There's tea that is unsweetened tea, which is the same tea, but just without the sugar in it. But then there's the people, then there's the tea that tea drinkers drink. Your Earl Grey tea, yes, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. You put like cream or something.
Yeah, Earl, yes. Chamomile, yeah, tea. Yeah, yeah.
I've heard of those.
The fancy tea. Like the tea when people say, oh, it's tea time, isn't it, governor?
I may have had some out of a sample box or something.
I'm sure you have. Yeah, yeah. The tea that people drink when they say it's tea time and they're like being fancy and they have their little tiny teacups and they do the little Dunkin' bag or whatever, right? Give me some Lipton sweet iced tea. That's brisk, baby. All right? Give me some sweet iced southern tea. I made myself this morning before I left. I dunked myself a bag in hot water of Earl Grey tea. I'm like, let me have some tea. I'm going to put a little local sourced honey in there.
Isn't that more of an evening tea?
Why? No, that's chamomile. Chamomile. I've learned this. The wife's a tea person.
I thought that was a nighttime tea.
No, Earl Grey's your any time of the day, okay, like regular like tea and crumpets tea.
I thought that was more of your early evening.
Nope, that's chamomile. Chamomile and sleepy time tea or your nighttime tea. Earl Grey's in any time tea. So I pulled it out. I gave myself the little Dunkin' bag. I heated up some hot water in the little hot water heater thing that the wife uses. All right? I only know how to do it because I watched her do it. I made me some hot water, poured it in the cup, dunked myself a tea bag, let it get all steamy, took a sip, and went, this is god-awful. Why do you people drink this? It tastes like sewer water. This is what water tastes like, I assume, if I scooped it out of the bottom of a canal somewhere. This is atrocious. This is awful. I hate it. But I powered through it. And this is what you're getting out of me today, okay? I'll be better tomorrow. I'll be even better on Wednesday. I'll be my best on Friday. We'll come back Monday. We'll have a kick-ass show on Monday because we'll have the first round of the college football playoffs underway. And then we're off Tuesday through Friday next week, so you won't hear me again for a week. You're welcome. Or I'm sorry, whichever is more appropriate. But here we are, ready to rock and roll on this Monday. I may sound like I don't feel great, I promise you, in the best zone right now. Because Zoe and I, we got 6 days of work. We got today and then five more. Then we're off from next Tuesday through the end of the week, through all the way up to the next Monday, with the exception of, obviously, Bet for the Cycle on Saturday from noon to four on the BetQL Network. By the way, I lost Parlay v. Parlay Challenge this week, Zoe. My punishment is that one night this week, I have to go to the gymnasium, and I have to do 90 consecutive uninterrupted minutes on the stair machine. So whatever day I do that, I need you to know I will be here in a wheelchair the next day, and you will be wheeling my fat ass around the studio.
So what you're saying is you won't be on the Upstate Pulse annual Christmas karaoke.
I will be. I just maybe sitting. I may be laying on the floor singing.
You're gonna be in traction somewhere.
Yeah, I may be on the floor laying down singing whatever songs you got me singing this year from the floor.
So how can you prove that you're doing 90 minutes?
I am going to be checking in on a live stream every 10 minutes from a machine that you cannot stop the clock on. If you stop moving, it stops and resets the clock on you.
See, I'd be okay with the treadmill, but why did they choose the stairmaster?
Because everyone's okay on the treadmill. Well, this is meant to be a punishment, man.
Not everyone's
okay. It's going to suck. So anyway, all of that being said, I know I sound like hot garbage today, but I want you to know I feel great. All right? I'm gassed up. Let's rock and roll. Right, 4 hours.
Everyone who's agreeing with Rob on the tease, I looked it up, and it says a preference. It's either in the morning or in the late afternoon. So I was right, too. But you said anytime. It doesn't say anything about midday or not. So it's
so
either,
if you can have it in the morning, you can have it in the evening, but you can't have it in the daytime. Apparently. None at noon. None at noon. You can have it before 10 a.m. or after 10 p.m.
Yeah, that's
but any time in between is British blasphemy.
Yeah, there you go.
As the mad crafter just showed up and said.
You don't want to do that.
Said Rob Brown's mind works in complicated levels, as does my own. Separate tease for occasion is British blasphemy. I'll tell you right now. We didn't throw 140 boxes of tea into Boston Harbor to protest taxes. We did it because tea is booty cheeks and it's gross and nobody likes it. That we didn't do it to protest taxes. We did it because that's the best place for tea, sunk to the bottom of a harbor somewhere. This stuff is awful. Like, it's gross, dude. It's just bad. And I got to say, it was my second cup of tea because when I started the hockey game yesterday and I get on the mic, I show up, I put on my little FBI earpiece and I'm in contact with the director up in the box and we're about to start the game. And Alexis is like, hey, Rob Brown, 5 minutes till drop. Can you build me some excitement? Can you get on the mic, cut a promo, make everybody happy? And I was like, yeah. Swamp Rabbit Fat. And she's like, why don't we just save it for like the low level stuff? I was like, it's a good idea. So one of the guys up in the box is like, Rob Brown, I'll be right down there. And he brings me a hot tea. I don't even know what flavor this was. I took like three sips out of it. And it's one of those things that I hope he's not listening right now because I'm going to feel like a real jerk. But you don't want to get on the mic and be like, hey, thanks for bringing me this tea, but I hate tea. This stuff sucks. This is awful. So I sat there and I powered my way through this cup of tea because I knew it was going to be bad for me. I knew it was going to be good for me even if it was bad. Powered myself through this cup of tea. And as I'm drinking it, like the Rabettes, the cheerleaders, they hang out down there. And one of the girls, Megan, who's in the Rabettes, sweetheart, she's like, oh, I'm so jealous you have that cup of tea. I'm so jealous. And I was like, you know what? I'm such a giver. You can have the other cup they brought down. I played it off. I was like, how the hell do I get rid of this without looking like a raw butt? How do I get rid of this? And I'm like, you know what? It's cold outside and you're such a sweet girl. You can have my other cup of hot tea, which was me going, this crap sucks. Tea's gross. I don't understand tea, people. I don't get it. All right. I don't understand. Well, it's for your throat. Have a Halls. Ricola. Have anything else. I think I'd rather just, even as a host of a talk show, not be able to talk then have to drink tea. That stuff is rank, dude.
I do have some possibly outdated cough drops over here.
I've got some in-dated cough drops in there. I've already had two.
I mean, I don't know why they go out of date. What happens if you eat an out-of-date cough drop?
I don't know.
Does it lose its potency?
Why don't you do the experiment? Find out. Let us know.
I don't need one. And I will when I need it. And if I die, I die.
I mean, it's dramatic, but I like it. It's dramatic, but I like it. All right, we got a lot we got to get to on the radio program. Travis Hunter is your Heisman Trophy winner. And this is really interesting, and we're going to talk about this coming up in a few minutes, because Travis Hunter wins the Heisman, and I mean it. We've had Melvin Gordon is one I could think of. Like, we've had a handful of years where it's been a real close Heisman race. This was one of the closest Heisman Trophy races as far as the votes go that we've ever seen. As a matter of fact, Ashton Janti had a higher percentage of ballots that his name appeared on 93 and some change percent of ballots. There have only been, I think, two players whose names appeared on more ballots than Ashton Janti, but he did not win the Heisman because even though he appeared in more ballots, his name was second and third. Travis Hunter was first on more ballots, so he wins the Heisman. Here's what's really interesting, and it's a conversation I want to have. Travis Hunter wins the Heisman from Heisman voters. Obviously, X amount of numbers in the media and previous Heisman winners who submitted a vote. If you are on, and I don't know if this is a result, and I want to use you guys as a platform for this, to find out if this is like a social media thing or if there's something more to this. I cannot recall. Maybe it's recency bias. Maybe it's just the circles I travel in. I don't know. I cannot recall a bigger pushback, more of a reaction, a negative reaction to the results of a Heisman Trophy vote than I saw on Saturday night when Ashton Janti was runner-up and Travis Hunter won the Heisman Trophy. Dude, I popped on social media. I got home from the game Saturday night. I was watching down in the tunnel, all right? I bring a little tablet down there. I bring the tablet of truth down there, put up a live stream on the tablet. So I'm down in the tunnel, and I'm paying attention to the hockey game, but I've got the Heisman Trophy ceremony streaming on the tablet. And they announced the winner, and I'm like, yeah, that checks out. I told you 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Travis Hunter was going to win it because playing both sides of the ball is hard. Playing both sides of the ball and being really good at both sides of the ball is rare. It's rare air, okay? And I said that the unfortunate part here that the people are going to have to recognize and realize is that while Ashton Janti is doing something that we may never see again in our lifetime, the way he runs the football, Travis Hunter is also doing something we're never going to see again. And whether or not you agree with it, what he is doing is even more rare than what Ashton Janti is doing, despite how rare what Ashton Janti is doing. Travis Hunter's going to win the Heisman. So he does. He wins the Heisman. I get on social media Saturday night when I get home from the game, lay my sweet head down to sleep, and as I'm scrolling through Twitter, man, I mean it, I have never seen a bigger reaction, pushback to a vote since, I don't know, November? Like, it was my entire timeline, and again, I have brick by brick crafted my timeline into being the absolute perfect football timeline, all right? Everybody in my timeline knows ball, and I get on there, and I was blown away by the sheer pushback from the public at large, to the point that, and I don't know if it was Madcraft or somebody, I think it was, who's in the live stream right now. What up, big dog? Good to have you back, buddy. Somebody sent me a tweet that asked the question, should the public have a vote for the Heisman? Should there be like a, like, should, whether it's a percentage of the vote, he's in there, Sam, right now. I believe the fan vote should carry a small weight of the overall Heisman vote, say 10%, 20%. Or should there be one poll and that's worth one vote in the Heisman Trophy? Should there be a fan vote? And my immediate reaction was no. No, because respectfully, I have watched how the fans vote polls on Twitter, and sometimes the answers are really dumb. But this was, I mean it, I'm not going to say it was consensus. It certainly wasn't. But, like, I believe if there was a poll right now, who should have won the Heisman, Ashton Janti or Travis Hunter, and we made it an at-large poll on Twitter, if we got 100,000 votes, I'm sure about 85,000 of them would go to Ashton Janti. That's how
That's how big that pushback was.
But the question is, how many of those people actually saw him play, or they heard on TV and other places that this guy's going to win the Heisman? Because I never watched him play, but I heard a bunch of people talk about it. I did see Travis Hunter play, and he's amazing.
Now, see, and here's the thing. You know what? Save this. Let's just go ahead and bring this back up. I was going to do it later in the show. We still may, but I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's a very valid point that I want to address. Good job, Madcraft. You've moved my entire show segment around. That's the power of the people on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Ashton Janti checks in second in the Heisman Trophy voting. He was on 93%+ of the ballots. Travis Hunter was on 90%, but it is a ranked vote. That is to say, you get more points for being ranked higher. So if you're ranked on 97% of ballots, but you're in third on all those ballots and somebody else is on 89% of ballots, but they're in first, they get more points. They win the Heisman. And again, as I pointed out in the last segment, I have not seen a huge organized pushback quite like I did on Saturday night for Ashton Janti. In fact, to the point that Ashton Janti was being called on Twitter Lonzo's name, the People's Champ. And I don't have an issue with it. The concept of the People's Champ is on Saturday night. I was like, yeah, that makes sense, man. Like, my social media feed was buying, and even when I went searching for Ashton Janti, like, you know, pop his name into the search bar on X, pop his name into the search bar on Instagram, whatever. As I scrolled through, the overwhelming majority of the people that were making comments about the Heisman were speaking that Ashton Janti should have won it. So Madcraft hit me up with a question on X, and he said, should the public have some sort of say in the Heisman, whether they get a percentage of control, maybe a fan vote's worth X percent, or maybe they get a ballot or they get 10 ballots based on their ranks or whatever the case might be. And my answer, due in part to what Lonzo said a minute ago, is no. No, they should not. And I'll tell you why. And I say this with all due respect. Because of what Lonzo said. Lonzo said, I didn't see Ashton Janti play. I saw Travis Hunter play all the time. Here is a reality about human beings. In sight, in mind, out of sight, out of mind. That's how we operate. That's how we work. The things that are represented in your life matter. This is why, and I'll not to make it politics, but here's the reality. This is why Republicans won the presidency this year. Because they did a better job of talking to people about the issues that impact them directly, or making them feel as if the issues that they were talking about impacted them directly, whether they do or don't. The Democrats went out there and they said, hey, look, yes, we're dealing with inflation. So's the whole world. Everyone is. And we're doing a better job of handling that. But the reality is, people don't have a grasp on international economics, right? They have a grasp on the economics of my house. And Republicans did a better job at saying, look, we're going to do a better job at helping your domestic economics work out. They just did a better job messaging. That's in large part why they won. The fans did not have access to Boise State University football. They just didn't. And if you did, you ignored it, by and large. And for the record, when I say because of what Lonzo said, he ain't the only one that said it. I had a conversation on Saturday night before the hockey game. I go in about an hour, hour and a half before drop. And we all do our little, you know, our little pregame meeting, get everybody hyped up, rah, rah, shish, boom, bah. And me and the boys were up in the office talking. And I was like, is there anybody here that thinks that it's worth putting a little sprinkle on Ashton Janti to win this thing? He's got a ton of social media support. And three of the five guys that I was talking to up there said, no. I said, why not? And they said, well, I've seen Travis Hunter do some incredible things. And I said, great. Did you not watch Ashton Janti? Because this man was running, by the way, if you go watch any game, they were stacking eight-man boxes against Dashon Jantyi, and he was breaking tackles through all of them. And again, I know he's playing Mountain West competition, but a running back stacking up 180 yards on average, 190 yards on average, when teams are only trying to stop him and he's still putting up those numbers are ridiculous. And when I asked around, the majority of people that I spoke to had not watched more than maybe like a few snaps of Boise State football. And the majority of those that did watch it, they watched the Mountain West Conference Championship game. Why? Because that directly impacted them. Boise State winning that game, catch a bye in the playoffs. Boise State losing that game drops them out of the playoffs. Maybe not moves UNLV in. If Boise State loses that game, there's a chance that Clemson or SMU end up with a bye. A chance the Big 12 champ moves around a little bit. The Mountain West Conference Championship game directly impacted college football fans, ergo they watched. But they didn't watch Boise State in weeks 1 through 12, 1 through 13. That's why I can't let fans have a vote. And while I am 100% sure that there was a significant number of Heisman Trophy voters that likely did not watch at least a few Boise State games, I am willing to bet that overall, a significantly higher percentage of Heisman voters, former players and media members, I'm willing to bet they at least went out of their way to be exposed to Boise State football, especially later in the year when what Dashon Jantyi was doing started standing out. Like, oh, this kid down there with the blue turf Smurfs, this kid's playing some damn football. We got to week 11, 12, 13. Dashon Jantyi has crossed the 2,000 rushing. Guys, there's like seven, including Clemson, by the way. There's like seven schools at the FBS level. Schools. Whole schools that did not have as many rushing yards as a collective as Dashon Jantyi did as one guy. And yet, even when we got to that mark, if I asked around, I'd be willing to bet, maybe not our audience, because our audience knows ball, the Armada's quite intelligent, but if we went out, man, on the street and said, how many Boise State games did you watch? I guarantee you the average number of games is less than one. I guarantee it. So I can't say the fans deserve a vote when I would be willing to bet actual American dollars that if I asked 1,000 college football fans, not even regular people, genuinely college football fans, if I went out and asked 1,000 college football fans, how many Boise State games did you go eyeballs on? I would bet you the average answer is less than one. Less than one. There will be a bunch of them that say, I watched the Mountain West Conference Championship game. Maybe they watched the Oregon game back in, what was it, week three, week four, whatever it was. Like, maybe. But realistically speaking, the average answer is less than one.
And I do believe that if you ask all those people that you're talking about asking, the first thing they would say is, could he do it in the SEC? No, he could not. Could he do it in the Big Ten? No, he could not. I'm not saying that I'm saying that. I am saying that. But I'm betting that the people that you talk to, that would be one of the things they say to you.
I bet you it would. I bet you it would. And again, I can't tell you what he'd do in the SEC or Big Ten. I will say this. I guarantee you he'd be the best running back in those conferences. I promise you. In fact, I would go so far as to guarantee I watch more Dashon Jantyi, more Boise State games than probably anybody listening to this show right now. I promise you, if I stuck him in the Big Ten, he'd have been the best running back in the Big Ten. If I'd have stuck him in the SEC, he'd have been the best running back in the SEC. He would have outpaced Dylan Sampson from Tennessee. If I'd have stuck him in the ACC, he'd have set the ACC single season record mark. Guarantee it. Guarantee he would have done that. And my other argument, for the folks that are out there that are going, oh, you know, conference, that's all well and good. Yes, he plays group of five ball. Yes, he plays Mountain West ball. Here's the thing. If it's that easy, why is he the best to ever do it? Why is he the best? He's the best to ever do it at that level. There's got to be some level of respect for the numbers that he's put up. He's probably, in the first game they play in round two, he is going to set the all-time single-season rushing mark. If it was that easy to do at lower levels, we'd at least have more guys that were in that conversation, and we just don't. The reason I will never say fans should be given a vote is this. Colorado ball, if you wanted it, was very easy to access, very easy to watch. Boise State, you had to go hunt for. And people just aren't willing to go hunt this down. And they just didn't. Again, if we ask 1,000 people right now, how many Boise State games did you watch? The average answer will be less than one.
Well, I'm looking at the bracket trying to figure out when he will face a good defense. I mean, I believe Penn State's going to beat SMU, so their first game is going to be against Penn State. Is that a good defense?
First off,
is that one of the better defenses they've played?
It'll be one of the it'll be the best defense they've played for sure. Now, and if he goes and stacks a buck 50 on him, will he get some respect?
If things progress how they could, they would be playing Georgia eventually. If he does against Georgia, then I'm a little more convinced.
I mean, listen, we've seen. Let me do this. Let me because this conversation's not going anywhere. Because there's another story about Ashton Janti that kind of bothered me a little bit. Let me get Douglas in here real quick before we head to a break. I don't want to ask him to hold through a commercial set. Douglas, welcome to the show, brother. Great to have you. What you got for me, big dog?
Hey, thanks for being here, Rob.
Sure.
Recent upstate transplant. So
welcome, buddy.
Thank you. Hey, no, I honestly think the biggest issue, I'm going to compare it to nepotism a little bit. You look at Deion Sanders and all the attention that he gets, that's the only reason that Colorado's on TV more than anyone else, especially out here. Like, that's why Boise State isn't getting the attention. You look 2-3 years ago, Boise State was on TV. The Smurfs, they're a great team. But honestly, I think the Deion Sanders is it's a joke of a show that's taking too big of a shadow over college football.
Douglas, I'll say this. Number one, I don't think you're wrong. You are correct. Colorado is the shiny new toy with Deion Sanders there. And yes, just like they were last year, they're getting pressed. But here's the thing. I will say this respectfully, Douglas. It doesn't matter why Colorado's on TV. It just matters that they are. And yes, this vote, if it was up to the fans, 100% would be a popularity contest. Now, I will say this. I'm actually quite proud of the fans.
You're saying it's not a popularity contest.
Hang on. Let me push back. Because I do think it is to a degree a popularity contest. I am going to say, and I said this last week, Douglas, I think this year's Heisman Trophy race is probably my favorite in the last handful of years because I do think the top two dogs are the top two dogs. I think they are the best two. I'm having a hard time coming up with like a linebacker or a cornerback that I would stick in there and say is better than Hunter or better than Janti. I think we have the best two players in college football that were up there. And ordinarily, I don't really pay attention to the Heisman Trophy because I do think it's popularity. Here's the reality. Yes, Deion Sanders got the Colorado Buffaloes on television with a hell of a lot easier to access than Boise State did. And the access you got to Boise State was only because of Ashton Janti doing Ashton Janti things. And I do think that there is a lot to say. When I boil this down to the conversation we're having, which is should the fans have some say in the Heisman, the reason the answer is no is even with elevated access to Boise State, Douglas, I know like 3 or 4 dudes that watched any Boise State ball. That's not Ashton Janti's fault. And what happened between the lines, whether there was 1,500,000 or 3 people watching.
Sure, sure.
And because of the fact that the fans weren't watching, I don't think their voice should register in this. And I say that as a fan.
I think you're right. No, I agree that I don't think it should be a popularity vote. However, I think it's just disheartening to see to see players get overshadowed just because of a coach's previous legacy.
No, I don't disagree. Douglas, great call, buddy. Appreciate you. Welcome to the Upstate. Thanks for being here, and thanks for welcoming yourself into the Rob Brown Show Armada. Listen, I think the Heisman Trophy contest is largely a popularity contest. This year, I think they got it right. Blind score with a nut, whatever phrase you want to use there. I think the best two players in college football battled this award out. And by the way, it was one of the closest races we've ever had. But the question that was asked by Madcraft was, should fans get a vote? And the answer to me is absolutely not. Because whether it's because of Deion or whether it's because there's a bias against Group of Five or because there's just not the money in putting that product on television, all that's irrelevant. The reality is fans didn't watch Boise State football. Colorado football, they did. And fans vote for what's in their eyeballs, not what actually happened in the real world. That's the answer to me. All right, we'll talk more about this later on in the show. I am Rob Brown, the great Melonzo on the ones and twos. Text line, 71307. Start your text with FAM. We'll respond to some of those coming up in a minute. Renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone, 844-326-3663. Your calls and text when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. Rob the Greatman Lonzo with you. Jump on board. Text line 71307. You can call us on the Renewal by Anderson. Oh, by the way, start your text with FAN, F-A-N, don't forget. We'll tell you that, and I'm pretty excited about this.
For now.
For now.
For now.
Because when we get to the new year, January 1, when we get to the new year, the text line and the call-in number will be the same number.
January 2nd, because ain't nobody going to be here on January 1st.
What day do we come back? Yeah, we're not here January 1st. January 2nd. So next Thursday, the text line and the phone number will be the same number. Next Thursday. Next Thursday that we work. How's that? Not this Thursday. We're off next Thursday. Next Thursday we work.
Technically, this Thursday is the next Thursday that we work. Anyway, the second.
Point
the
is, second. January 2nd.
Next year, people.
January 2nd. The text number and the call-in number will be the same number, 844-FANFONE. But for now, 71307, start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. Like texter who said they played Oregon. How did Ashton Janti do against them? No big deal. Just 192 yards, 3 touchdowns, average 7.7 yards per carry. Wait for it. On 25 carries, he averaged almost 8 yards per carry, and he carried the ball 25 times. That's insane, man. Like, that's an insane number. And again, when I said earlier, I think if we asked 1,000 self-proclaimed college football fans, how many Ashton Janti games did you watch? How many Boise State games did you watch? The average number is going to be less than one. And, you know, there was somebody pointed out once, and this is one of my favorite things when we talk about percentages and whatnot. The average number of arms per human being on planet Earth is less than two, right? Because there's people that only have one arm, and they bring the average down. So the average number of arms per person is less than two, right?
No.
It's 1.99. Yes.
No.
Because if I have, Lonzo, if I have two people, and one of them has two arms and one of them has one arm, the average number of arms is 1.5 arms, right? That's the whole concept.
If you have two people, but there's more than two people.
Lonzo, if I have 100 people and 99 have two arms and one of them has one arm, the average number of arms is not two. It's 1.99, right? That's how the numbers work. Unless one, if I have 5 million people,
I've got
unless
$20, and if you give me 3 tens, then I'll give you back a 10.
No. You're trying to complicate something that's not complicated.
Yeah, that sounds.
If I have 10 people and one of them has one arm, you do not have an average of two arms per person. You just don't. That's. I'm sorry. That's how numbers work, right? So if I asked. The average college football fan out there, how many Ashton Janti games did you watch? I'd be willing to bet at least a majority of them would say zero. I'd be willing to bet that a small number of them would say more than one. Maybe a handful of y'all watch like Boise State v. Oregon and the Mountain West Championship game. But I'd be willing to bet a huge number of people say zero. I didn't watch any Boise State games this year. And a few would say one. The average number would be like, you know, 0.75 Boise State games per viewer.
I'm not watching one this week either.
No, we're not, because they're on the bye. So, with that being said, to kind of cap off the conversation we were having, and the conversation we had last segment was, should the fans have some sort of say in the Heisman vote? The answer to me is no. The answer to me is no. They should not. And it's not because fans don't know ball. If fans didn't know or care about ball, I'd be out of a job. I'd be out of a career.
So
but
this isn't you siding with the media, that the media should have all the power?
No, it's this not, is not. Because
not
I
that,
No, it's
I,
not.
I mean, underlying somewhat. Now, I'm not saying I say that.
Because if I did feel that way, then the next campaign I would go on would be to remove former players from the vote. I'd say, hey, just because you won a Heisman doesn't mean you should have a say in who wins the next
one.
You
mean all those guys that live in that house?
All those guys that live in that house should not have. No, I don't say that. They absolutely should. Because those guys not only know ball, but in fact, if anything, I think those guys probably have a better concept of who should win and why than the media. But yes, I am going to say, to the chagrin of many of you who hate the old hashtag MSM, I am going to say that yes, but mainstream media,
Okay, because
you looked very confused.
Well, there's this powder that you can put in water. It's MSM powder. It's very good.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's
stop. Lonzo's just putting weird powders in his food.
Oh no! It will tighten your skin.
I know
as you're losing weight and things like that. Yeah,
I know many of you know ball. In fact, if you listen to this show, you definitely know ball because if you're in the Armada, you know ball. Okay, but as much as it is going to tick off many of you. People who get paid to watch and cover sports frequently know more about the sports than like random fan on Twitter. They just do. It's literally our job. Now, the problem with that is, and we're going to talk about this coming up a little bit later. The problem is that the people who know ball, love ball, understand ball, report on ball, they're not the ones that get the press. The people who get the press are the hot take artists. This is why I speak out against clickbait journalism. And I'm going to talk about this later because Ashton Janti was at the center of a clickbait controversy over the weekend. And it infuriated me. Drove me up a wall. So the people that get the videos that spin around on Twitter aren't a guy who sits down like Brian Baldinger does. Y'all follow Baldinger? Y'all follow Baldy on X? Baldy's great because Baldy puts up a play and he points out why it works. This guy is doing this and this coverage and here's the Ben. But people get bored by that.
It's kind of annoying. And when he was on TV, he was trying to be John Madden at the time when John Madden was really popular. And it just, yeah.
But see, this is exactly my point. Baldy is up there breaking down football. This is why what worked, worked, and what didn't work, didn't work. But people go, oh, it's boring. It's boring. I want hot. And that's the problem. The problem is that the people who are amplified, guys like Greg Doyle, guys like Colin Coward, guys like Skip Bayless, guys like Stephen A. Smith, all they do is take unpopular opinions and they yell them in an inflammatory way, and we all react to that. But there are guys in the media who vote on the Heisman Trophy who actually watch these games and pay attention, and they watch every snap of every game. It is their job. It's what they do.
Who is Greg Doyle?
Greg Doyle is a guy who used to be a national writer for Yahoo. He was the one who, oh God, which one was his controversy? He was the one who was really creepy towards Caitlin Clark when she got drafted. And he was like, he got out, like his chance to ask a question. And he was like, hey, Caitlin. And he did the heart hand emoji. He's like, I like you and I hope you'll like me. It was like really cringy, creepy for the Indy Star, and they demoted him and he's just like a dude now. He's just like some creepy guy trying to give more hot takes and get his attention back. Those are the people who get amplified and echo in the sports world. This is why I get very frustrated with people. Oh, the media is dumb. They don't, no. For every one of those cats, there's 1,000 people like me who just want to talk about football. And we cover it and we watch these games and we pay attention to who's doing what. That's why the media and former players, because I want the perspective of guys who have been there, done it, and understand what it takes to be on that stage and win that trophy, not Bob from Easley, who watched zero Ashton Janti games.
I have noticed a lot of Dion hate. And that's and they're projecting that on to Travis Hunter, like he's not a good player.
Again, I think anybody who takes that perspective is just as wrong.
Yeah, it's just as wrong. I mean, I get he got the that they have ad campaigns and if a school thinks they have a really good player that should make it to the Heisman, they do everything they can to get that player in front of people's eyes, and they have campaigns for people to see this guy. What did Dion do any different than any other college?
No, If you said Travis Hunter shouldn't win it, he had more visibility because of Dion, blah, 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 none of that matters. When you are directing your Heisman vote, the only thing that should matter is what happened from goal line to goal line, sideline to sideline, and nothing else. That's all that should matter. Right? Yeah, they're gonna go on these campaigns. I've been to New York City and literally seen Heisman Trophy advertisements on billboards in Times bleeping Square. None of that should matter. Okay? If you're gonna vote on a Heisman, as the year progresses and guys are starting to emerge as this could be a guy, nothing should matter more than watching those games and evaluating what they're doing. And when I go and see that everybody knows that the, you know, that Boise State's got this guy. And I go around and I go, hey, and again, I literally did this Saturday night. I took a survey of a group of dudes that were all sitting around in an office talking college football Saturday night. And I said, yo, how many Boise State games did you watch? How many Boise State games did you watch? How many Boise State games did you watch? And the answer from seven of them, thanks, Alonzo, from seven
did
guys.
Did you see what I did?
Yes, it happens.
Yeah, I've done that was an accident.
I asked seven guys in that office, how many Boise State games did you watch? Four of them said zero. Two of them said one. One of them said two. So of the seven people in there that all had a Heisman Trophy opinion, there was a grand total of three Boise State games that had been watched. Between seven people, they had watched three games. And one of them, and I respect the guy who knows who I'm talking about if he's listening right now, one of them only watched because I was in his office during the night of the Mountain West Conference championship game, and I made him put it on. That's the only reason he watched it. So really, between seven, there were three games watched, and one of them was forced by me. So really, two games got watched, but all of these guys, they all had their opinion on who should win the Heisman. Two watched games, three because I made one of the guys watch the last one. This is why the fans can't have a vote, because you're like, oh, I know ball, and then I go, great. How many games did you watch? Between seven guys who had very strong opinions, they had watched two games willingly and one by force, because I'm a dictator. But hey, you got to do what you got to do. Texter said, should the civilian vote count something, or should it be just the Electoral College since they know politics? Well, that's not how the Electoral College works. Let's start with that. I mean, it is technically, but it's not. No, because that impacts you directly. Who wins the Heisman doesn't. All right, I got a lot more good texts on the text line, 71307. Start your text with Fan FAM. We'll read them after Lonzo blows you away with this sports flash.
Two of the top teams in the NFL played yesterday, with the Buffalo Bills defeating the Detroit Lions 48-42. Josh Allen threw for 362 yards and two touchdowns and rushed for two more. And James Cook added 105 yards and two more scores on the ground. Don't know if anyone was playing defense or not. Jared Goff threw for five touchdowns and 494 yards in a losing effort, as Detroit rushed for only 48 total yards. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes left a 21-7 victory over Cleveland in the fourth quarter with an ankle injury, and said after the game he's unsure of his status for Saturday's matchup against Houston. Mahomes also said he believed he could have returned to the game, but with a lead felt it was smart to let backup Carson Wentz finish the game, and Andy Reid wouldn't let him. Tune in Saturday at 2:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Harvard Crimson. It's Furman versus Harvard right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.